Hello and welcome to The Casuals with Jack and John for your weekly dose of movie news, reviews and spoilers. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of The Casuals with me as always, your host Jack and my co-host John.
Hello.
Right, we're going to get straight into it. We're going to go news, a film, and then another film.
I like it.
If you've looked at the title, you already know what films we're going to talk about.
What is anyway, the title of the episode?
Episode 3, Alita plus Ralph Breaks the Internet. I think I'll go with something like that anyway.
Nice.
Anyway, straight...
The yes. giant avatar. The,
yeah.
Gangster avatar, yeah.
Have you seen people as well? They've done a fan art thing where they've replaced Will Smith with Robin Williams.
No.
It looks quite good. But to be honest, I think give Will Smith a go. I mean, it seems to have divided quite a lot of people.
Well, I think it's really weird because in all the newspapers and the magazines and stuff,
yeah.
He wasn't blue. He was just dressed up as, you know...
Yeah.
And then in this one, he's not really dressed up because he's pretty much naked.
Yeah.
And he has a CGI cloud for legs.
People are saying about why can't they just dub over Robin Williams' audio? But that had a lot of, like, references in the 90s, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Whenever it was. Yep. So it wouldn't really be relevant content. A lot of his jokes and stuff in it, I reckon.
I don't remember what he said in there, but...
I think a lot of it was relevant to the time... I don't think it's necessarily content that's aged well.
Ah, it would maybe be seen as slightly offensive or something?
Well, I don't know, but I just don't think the jokes will necessarily land, especially if any of them are kind of like political or anything.
Yeah, but
like
I think also the thing is you have Robin Williams, you know, energy that he brought to the character.
Yeah.
So that,
oh, yeah.
That's what drove it.
He's a bad choice, though.
What, for Genie?
Yeah. I think he's pretty good. He's fairly energetic in every film I've ever seen him in.
Yeah, I will give you that. Yeah, he's a very good actor, obviously. I don't know. I'm going to have to wait and see. I don't think it's going to do very well.
I don't think
personally.
There's any other way that they could have done it better.
I don't think they needed to do it, to be honest. I don't see the point in it.
What, why? Aladdin? Or,
yeah, Aladdin. Why?
Trying to get all these new films, aren't they? The Disney ones.
Yeah, well, they're basically just redoing everything and making it live action.
Yeah, pretty much. Or... In like the Lion King's case, kind of live action, but it's not because it's CGI.
I do like how they call it live action, but it's not. It's CGI.
You said that last time we mentioned.
Oh, did
it.
I?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it's something that bugs me.
Right, on to the next bit. So, Lego Movie 2 came out, I think, last week.
Loved the first one.
It's kind of got an underwhelming box office weekend.
Oh.
I think its box office was 34.4 million, something along those lines.
Do you know what the budget was? Is that domestic?
I don't know.
That's going to be domestic,
though,
isn't it? Yeah.
But considering the original Lego movie was 69 million for the opening, and Lego Batman was 53 million. That's,
wow.
Did we review
Lego Batman?
I can't remember.
I think we might have.
I remember seeing it,
so I liked it.
I think, because after that they brought out Ninjaro or something, Lego Ninjaro, I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch that one, though.
I'm guessing that one flopped, I'm not really sure, but this has obviously performed not as good as the other two, or at least those ones. So, will it have a future of carrying on, or is it going to progressively get...
I mean, the views, it looks like a fun action family, you know, trip to go and watch.
The thing is, though, as well, it didn't exactly have much competition in the way of...
Yeah, I mean, like, Alita, not really the most family-orientated film, is it?
No.
And that's, what, the biggest thing at the moment.
Yeah.
Mary Poppins is still out at our local cinema anyway.
Yeah, I'm
surprised.
Considering it didn't have much competition, and it originals. Yeah. Did the original two.
He did the first two?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Terminator Dark Fate.
Holy fuck.
Subject to change, obviously, because it's only the working title, but it also takes place in Mexico City, focusing on Danny Ramos, I think the character's called. I think the actress is called Natalie Reyes.
Okay.
So, I don't know if John Connor's going to be any sort of focus in this. I don't really know.
I think they should just kill it.
Funny enough, there's no way of salvaging it, I don't think.
No. The thing is, though, like...
Even if they bring out a salvation film.
But the thing is, though, there's just... It's the same problem that Alien had when they start making these sequels. So you have this one cool idea. So you have this scary machine that's sent from the future to the past to kill your mother. So
and then you
can't
do it to death.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, when you show it, it's a bit like Jaws. The less of it you see, the scarier it is. Now, where you've seen so many of them, and then in some films you have multiple, and in some films you have armies fighting them, suddenly not a scary machine. It's just a machine you fight against.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So now, you know, every film in the future that has Terminator, it cannot just have one Terminator because, I'm not scared of that anymore. Same thing with Alien. So after Alien 1, you know, it was a horror film. Well, it was a horror film. Alien 2, I think that was James Cameron as well. They multiplied them. Slightly less scary. Yeah, and then you had the 1990s Alien film 4.
Well, the original Terminators were more like slasher horror films.
Because there's a bad guy, scary bad guy,
horror people, they're always running from him. You only catch glimpses of him, that sort of kind of a slasher horror film.
And you don't actually see the robot until the end, really, do you?
A lot of people saying it should have ended after the second one, and I kind of agree. But anyway, on to the next bit of news. So, talking to James Cameron.
Oh, Avatar.
Yeah, the Avatar movies.
Is it 6 or 5, isn't it? Or something?
4 movies.
Oh.
He's going to film them all back to back. I think the live action stuff starts filming this year. And do you know what? Each movie is going to be a standalone story.
What?
Inside the Pandora world.
Holy fuck.
Yep. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's going to be a bad thing. To be honest, I think even if they were all one story, I still think it'd be a bad thing. It's just a bad idea.
Like, I'm going to be... Do you know what? I'm in a bad mood. I'm going to be a naysayer this episode. But when Avatar 1 came out, it was so revolutionary. It was so crazy. It was so out there. Highest grossing film of all time. Yeah. All that lot. It's like, well, 3D, first of all, has kind of lost its momentum now. No one can, I won't watch 3D anymore.
No, I don't think
just
really.
Just gives me a headache.
It just had a phase. It was like a teenager. It had a phase.
Yeah, it had a phase. It had a spotty, smelly, sweaty phase where it was really loud and you saw many colours.
It put on a bit of weight. It dyed its
put
hair.
Put on a bit of weight. You grew your hair out thinking it made you more open to society. I'm not looking forward to these Avatar films unless the Avatars die or they have a big battle and lots die.
Watch the first one that comes out the second one. And if it's a pile of turd, I will not go watch any of them others.
I mean, we can't really say that because we do a podcast where we watch films.
Yeah, I don't like
it. And we have to watch the films, even the ones we don't want to see, so we can still review them.
I think James Cameron's lost the plot. I genuinely think he's lost the plot. I think he's lost it.
Why?
Any magic that he had, I think he's lost.
Oh, yeah, his...
I don't think he's a reliable name on a film anymore.
I won't say he is, no.
No, I think.
Wasn't he actually saying that? Wasn't he meant to be doing Alita, but he was doing the Avatar films instead?
I think he did do Alita.
No, he didn't. He was a executive producer on it or something like that. And it was Robert Rodriguez that did Alita. But James Cameron had a big impact on Alita.
He was also at one point going to do an Aquaman film as well, years ago, I think. But I don't think he's trustworthy. You see his name on a film, I'm starting to think it's going to be a rubbish.
Yeah. Saying that, it was Michael Bay that did Transformers films, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. On to the next bit. So, you know, I said Black Widow was going to start filming soon.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's been delayed now till June. Apparently, I think it's getting a rewrite.
It's getting some rewrites. It's such a boring character. She's just an assassin. There's nothing interesting about her.
It would just be a normal action film, wouldn't it?
Action film, yeah. I'm sorry, but, you know.
Right, so on to the next bit as well.
Yep.
So we've lost Ben Affleck as Batman now.
Yeah, he stepped down, didn't he? And then there's a whole thing about who's going to replace him. Is it going to be a young person? Bring back Christian Bale.
I mean, this guy probably won't replace him, but an actor called Scott Adkins.
Who?
I think he was Lucian in Doctor Strange, or Lucan, something like that, in Doctor Strange. I don't really know. He's not... like a high budget actor.
Is he young?
He's younger than Affleck, but not as young as they're probably going to want. But he's there was an audition tape of his that was leaked from his Batman versus Superman audition.
Oh yeah,
it's quite a good tape. I actually quite liked it. And in it, he does a scene from Batman: The Dark Knight Rises.
What's the scene?
It's where Alfred's telling him about the letter that he burned from Rachel.
Oh, he's like, and what would you? What would he's like? And if I were to tell you that I found that letter, but I burnt it to protect you.
It was that. It's actually pretty good. He seemed quite good.
Was he playing Batman though?
Yeah, a young Alfred. I thought it was really good.
I want a young Alfred film. Because like Alfred the story, especially in Christopher Nolan's, where it's like when we were in the forests in Burma where it was.
Have you not watched
it's like how did you get the bad guy in there? It was like we burnt down the forest. It's like, oh,
have you watched any of Gotham?
I've watched the first season.
Alfred's relatively young in that because he's like an ex-SAS soldier. Anyway, but no, I thought his audition tape looked quite good, but they're going to want someone younger probably. A couple of people's names that have popped up that have been mentioned, and I don't like it for the role. Well, the first one that I've come across is Robert Pattinson.
Actually, I like him as an actor. Really do. I've seen, because since that vampire thing, which we shall not name, you know, he's had to do the thing where you have to start doing indie films and stuff like where you're really pushing the boundaries of your acting abilities to prove to people you are a decent actor.
You're an actor. You're not just this big budget a pretty machine glittering thing. Vampire.
Which doesn't have a name. We shan't name it.
No.
I can't
see him doing that, though. And then someone else's name that was floated around was Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer.
He played the big twins guy, in the social
network. Big guy. Pretty boy, though.
But, I mean, there's a few people being considered. I think someone's mentioned Chris Pratt's name, but that's obviously never going to happen.
I mean, he's con. I mean...
No. Plus, I don't actually think he'd be any good for it.
No.
Obviously, he won't be able to.
You kind of need someone that's going to be like a dark, gritty James Bond, really, don't you?
Yeah, but American.
Because he is the Cape Detective. He is a detective, really, isn't he?
Yes.
An American, obviously, yeah.
Yeah. Or at least do a very convincing American accent. Hugh Laurie, let's get him in.
As House. Yeah, but House Batman.
I'll tell you what, actually, he'd make a good Alfred.
He would.
I could see him as a good Alfred.
Actually, yeah.
Hugh Laurie would be a brilliant Alfred.
I think he'd be better than Jeremy Irons. Jeremy Irons I liked, by the way, so no diss to you there, Jeremy Irons.
I actually genuinely could see Hugh Laurie as Alfred.
Yeah,
that'd
I mean,
quite
if you guys, if you're listening out there, Hugh... You know,
tweet him.
Naming her, yeah.
Tweet him. Make him do it.
It might be a bit offensive because like he probably doesn't see himself as that sort of age.
Yeah, but if you're going for a younger Batman, well, Alfred would technically be younger as well.
That's a very good point. If it is, I didn't know if it was a younger Batman or not.
Yeah, so. It's supposed to be a younger Batman.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I don't know what... I'm guessing you're looking probably mid-20s, maybe. Late 20s.
But is that... Because what was Batman's... What is Bruce Wayne's story? So, because his parents die. Or in the Nolan ones, he goes away and everybody thinks he's dead, but he comes back.
It kind of... There's like... His parents die, but he doesn't just get trained by Ra's al Ghul. He goes to loads of different people, trains up loads of things, gets loads of degrees and stuff. Then comes back and does all that stuff.
But what age is he when he gets back then? Is there no definitive age? It just depends on the storyline
really
you're following.
I think it depends on whatever the current run of comics is, because it changes when every time they revitalize the series. So, anyway, on to the next bit. So, did you ever watch a TV show called Psych?
No.
Well, it was a really good TV show. finished ages ago. It had 8 seasons, and then they had a TV movie. Well... The sequel to that movie has been being pushed forward. So we're going to get a sequel to that. And it's really good. It's not very often that you get that from a TV show.
I'd never seen it.
It's a really good TV show. Anyway, also, this next bit, I didn't even realise was happening, but Pirates of the Caribbean reboot has lost its writers. So it's now looking for new writers, and it's probably going to be on hold for a little while it does.
It's lost its writers? Yeah. Wow. And they've also kicked off Johnny Depp. He won't return anymore.
He's gone a bit... He went into a bit of a crazy spin, though, didn't he?
He's always been crazy.
He's just...
The man's been like an actor since he was literally birthed out of the womb. Probably actually 2 months before that.
He's a bit too artsy-fartsy for me. Anyway.
Just lots of drugs, though.
But yeah, they've lost their writers. I didn't even know the reboot was happening. Especially after the last film, I thought, oh, okay, then maybe it's like they're doing like a soft reboot to push it that way. But
no, they're doing full-on, hardcore, solid 12 inches reboot.
So. I think they're going to have to ignore that completely. I think they're going to have to leave it for a little longer, though, just so the taste of Pirates of the Caribbean.
But the
is
thing
out.
Is, like Pirates of the Caribbean 1. I mean, that was I think that was 2001, wasn't it? It was like the same time as like Lord of the Rings came out. So I think it's around. Oh no, maybe 2003.
Not sure.
It's around that time anyway, and everybody loved it. Blew up to pieces, but. that, you know, which 2019, that's 16, however many years ago.
That's quite a few years ago.
You know, we've become adults now.
Yeah, but they've done how many films? Like seven?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 or 7,
something like that.
Too many.
So I think you need to. I think you need to give it another good. I don't know, I want to say like 10 years.
But the thing is, like, you can't replace Jack Sparrow, though, can you? So it can't be. It can't be about Jack Sparrow. It has to be about some other pirates.
I think that's where you got to leave it for. Yeah, but to be fair, it was just based off a ride, wasn't it? So I
yeah, it's based off a Disney ride. Yeah.
Hmm.
And Jack Sparrow was actually meant to be a like James Bond suave type pirate, but Johnny Depp
being like, autistic, as he is.
Yeah, being the artist, based it off of a rocker in the end, didn't he? So.
That makes sense though. I got two more bits of news and then we'll get on to some film reviewing.
Awesome.
So Avengers Endgame,
It's
looking like it's set to be about 3 hours long.
Oh bloody Nora.
Yeah.
3 hours?
Yeah.
This isn't Lord of the Rings Return of the King here. This is Avengers.
I actually saw a meme about that. I'll show it you later. It's quite funny.
I'll show you something after this episode as well. So.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounded wrong.
Yeah, we're just friends.
Is it along the lines of a 2-inch reboot?
A soft 2-inch reboot.
Soft 2-inch reboot. Anyway, and then the next bit kind of leads into our first film review. So, Alita, which you went and saw this week.
I've seen this, yeah.
Is looking like it's set to possibly bomb. It brought in $23 million.
Do you know what the
opening budget
was, though? It must have been 100.
Well, to break even, they need about 500 to 550 million. I guess that's including advertisement and stuff.
I didn't realise how much advertisement costs these companies.
So much.
I always thought it was
lot.
I always thought it was just, you know, production, post production. I didn't realise how much.
So much goes into the advertisement.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And I mean, I forgot as well. Alita was supposed to come out at Christmas time, I think, December time, but they pushed it back because of like Aquaman and stuff, because of competition and that. And then bombed anyway.
That's. Are you sure about that? Half. It needs half a billion
from what I
to break even.
To break even.
I can't believe
I'm guessing that's including all the costs, all the advertisement, all the marketing, as well as all the film production. I think it was something like maybe 200 million or something, the budget.
Oh, okay.
Something along those lines, I think. Plus all the advertisement and stuff.
That is scary, though.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think it's because that was a Japanese manga, wasn't it? Manga?
Yes, it was.
Anime or whatever. They don't seem to move over well when the Western adapted. Also, I don't think it's opened in Asia yet, so I think that's still yet to come.
That's going to be a massive market for them.
Apparently they seem to like James Cameron stuff.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, what I've noticed as well is when you hear about these poor figures, that's the domestic income. That's just in the US.
Yeah, yeah.
China is a huge...
Ooh, massive market.
Is a massive market
for
them.
It's like Transformers, I don't think, ever used to open that well in America.
No,
but in China, it did so well.
Yeah, but those people loved it, yeah. So,
But yeah, that's it for the news. But it takes into our first film review, because you went to see this film. I did not.
I did.
And then we're going to also talk about an older film, because... We were going to go see Lego Movie, but someone doesn't reply to their text, so...
I was led to believe it was The Boy Who Would Be King.
Either way, someone didn't reply to their text, and I asked you what you wanted to see. You said Lego Movie, so I was like, okay, cool. And then you just never replied.
We'll go after this. I don't care.
No. Anyway, go straight into Alita.
Okay, so Alita, Battle Angel.
This
is the newest film by Robert Rodriguez and James Cameron, who had a very, very intimate role with this film. This is a story of a doctor who does bioengineering, basically people's prosthetics, stuff like that. And one day, when he's going through this giant scrap heap, he finds Alita. Now, Alita came from this city which floats above another city, okay? And the rest of the world has been destroyed. It was a battle that happened 500 odd years ago, and basically, Martians attacked Earth.
Okay.
And Earth nearly got destroyed, apart from this one last floating city.
Okay.
Martians were originally people from Earth, went over there, I'm guessing, colonized it. They don't really tell you too much about that, which is really annoying, because the best and the most awesome scenes in this film are when she's getting little flashbacks of her past.
So what are these Martians? What do they look like?
Humans with big eyes, like her. She is a Martian type person. I'm just using the word Martian. They're not actually called Martians, but they're from Mars, so I'm calling them Martians.
They're Martians.
They're actually from Earth, made on Mars, or edited and changed on Mars, to my knowledge, and then they went to war.
That's weird.
Anyway, so this man, he finds elites in the scrapyard, and being a guy who, you know, who helps people with prosthetics, that lot, he rebuilds her. He builds her body.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he finds a body to attach her to and then wakes her up. And because she does have a human brain, by the way, there's no, like, full-on robots in this film. Everything has, like, a human brain.
Even that guy that's in the trailer where he's just, like, a head.
Yep, even the guy's just a head. So, okay. The only things I think are just robots are these giant sentinel things, but you can tell they're just robots.
Oh, right, okay,
everything else, it's really popular, it's really fantastic for humans to change their bodies with these bio-enhancements, mechanical enhancements and stuff. Anyway, she basically goes on a journey of self-discovery, trying to find out who she was and all that lot. Turns out, after a few flashbacks and then the doctor realizing what she was, turns out she was actually a berserker.
Ooh.
One of the fiercest warrior in history.
Ooh.
By the way, after this war, technology sort of halted.
Okay.
Technology during the war was better than it is now.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of like pushed so that's it why back when you like yeah that's why ages, but not
no 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 it doesn't push them back in time or anything. It's just it's still future to us.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just not
but
as far.
For them, it's
yeah for
pushed
them
back a bit.
Yeah, for them, it's pushing them back a bit.
Would it be like pushing us back to like the '80s?
No, I would say technology wise, no. Windows 98.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, everything's all beige and all that lot.
Big screens.
Yeah. Anyway, so. She gets flashbacks and then she finds out that she's this berserker warrior thing. And she wants to get up onto this floating city because this floating city is meant to be a fantastic place, but also it's where the bad guy lives. The bad guy who's manipulating everybody in the lower city, on the ground city. But the only way to get up there is you have to win a competition, which is basically basketball on roller skates around a track.
when you
fight each other. And by the way, everybody is the violence in this is fantastic. And you know, people get their limbs ripped off and all that lot. But because they're robotic, they go to the doctor and he fixes them.
Oh.
So it's quite funny. It's quite cool that way.
Okay.
Right. So things I loved about this film. The lady in it. It's weird, you kind of get a crush on her. And the worst thing I said this to my mate Phil when after we left. Like she's these massive eyes. After watching the film, just like looking around, and you see everybody with their normal size eyes, it's just like, oh.
I'm pretty sure, though, that they've made them less big than what they were in the original trailer. Because I remember them being humongous in the trailer.
But the thing is, like, they are. I mean, they're still massive here.
Oh, yeah, but they definitely made them smaller from that first trailer.
They might have. But the thing is, like, all the Martians have these giant eyes.
Well, easy to spot them, I guess.
I don't know. All these Martians are basically just brains in this very, very realistic robotic costume. Anyway, back to things what I liked about it, though. So I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah.
She was really interesting, one of the best parts about it. And, like, the thing is, though, she's actually only a teenager. But then she actually ends up, when she finds her real body, she grows up a little bit more, becomes like a young adult. It's really weird.
Okay.
But it's kind of cool, because you see, she's in this world she's never seen before, or you don't think she's ever seen before.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is literally, what would you do if you're a young person in this world? And she does it. It was kind of cool. So what did I like? I like the violence. I thought it was fantastic. The animation, I can't, you know, you can't diss it. It is a fantastic. It is visually to look at. It is superb.
Worth,
it's really cool. It's
worth the $200 million budget.
If that's what they spent, they've spent it quite wisely. It was very cool.
Okay.
You know. The storyline itself... hated it.
Really?
Yep, and the way the film ended ruined it for me.
Really?
Yep, so it turns out that this is actually a part of a film series. It's not just one. It's not just a one-off.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, so this film, we were in there for like 2.5-3 hours, however long this bloody thing was. And then right at the very end, she's winning some of the levels on this tournament so she can get up to the top city. And then what you've got open in your screen there, where she's just holding her sword up, looking towards the floating city, and then blacks out. That's it. That's the ending.
No.
And you're just like, oh, so all that's happened in this film is
she won a competition.
A doctor found a robot, rebuilt the robot. She then had a teenage discovery of her past in this city. She realized she had to do this competition. And then you don't see her do the competition, by the way.
What?
No, you just see her do like what the entry level stuff. And then, no. and then it cuts back and says, 4 months later, after 50 games or something.
No.
And then she just raises her sword and then that's it.
What?
There are some little other storylines in there, like she falls in love with this guy who ends up dying with that. But that's all boring shit that no one cares about.
That's rubbish. You don't see her do...
Not really. I mean, there is tons of violence and stuff in here. But a lot of it is just...
That sucks, you know, a bit, though.
It does. It did.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean... I liked it. I like the concept of it. I like films that are like post-apocalyptic or change. How could the future be a bit like this?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know, which is why I like films like Mad Max, this... what was the other one? It was about the cities that are on... Mortal Engines. Even though I didn't do very well, but still liked it. But
John,
yeah, so
John Carter?
John Carter? John Carter's set in the past.
Well, kind of. It's set on Mars.
Yeah, those Martians, yeah. But no, it's weird. Overall, I must admit, I did find Alita very entertaining, but not very enjoyable.
Out of good, meh, or bad, what would you give it?
Good, meh, or bad? I might have to add a few more categories in there, but while watching the film, good. When the film ended, meh.
So it brought it down to a meh?
Yeah.
The ending brought it down to a meh. Okay. That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, but it's weird though, because like, the animation's so cool, and when you're watching it, you're watching these scenes, you're just
it's
like,
just
let you're blowing
my
mind, James Cameron, and then all of a sudden it's just, well, the story, oh.
They're just let down by the story, or at least how it's been interpreted.
And the worst bit is, so, people with these, so this guy who's apparently manipulating everybody, he does it via, everybody has like, or lots of these people have these enhancements, and then he can take control of these people and talk through them. So their eyes go blue and then you can hear his voice. And now, her dad in this series, the guy that found her, is the German Christoph Waltz.
Yep.
German accent. The only German in the film.
Yeah.
Now, this baddie, who at the end of the film you see is Edward Norton, when he takes over people, this lot, he has a German accent. Oh, how interesting. And you find out Christoph Waltz used to live up in this city with his wife, who, by the way, the wife dies and then they harvest her brain and eyeballs in a jar, which is quite funny.
Okay.
Sad, because she was pretty fit. So you're just like, okay, well, Edward Norton, he's not the bad guy then, is he? He's just being controlled by her dad because he's the only German in this universe, as it turns out.
That's weird.
Yeah, and you can hear it in the accent as well. It's just like, you know, you're not hiding it very well.
That's weird.
He's like, hello, Alita. It's like, oh, well, that's not American. That's not Edward Norton, is it?
That also didn't sound German.
It didn't sound German. Nein. Und von uns schnell.
Anyway.
Guten Tag.
So that's it, yeah?
Yeah, I liked Alita while watching it, but by the end of it, I must admit, that just... Where it just cut... It literally, there were people in the cinema, no joking.
Yeah.
50 years old, grey hair. But, you know, very nice looking people. And all of a sudden, we heard them go, what the fuck?
It'd be interesting to see if it ends up getting a sequel or not then. If it bombs that bad.
It's popular in Asia though. And I think that's what they're aiming for. So
a lot of people are normally angry though with the Western adaptation.
Yeah, I mean you had a. Yeah, they don't normally. They call it whitewashing, don't
What's
they?
The
where
last
they take
one?
These
the Ghost in the
Ghost in the Shell. Yeah, with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah,
that was the best thing about that film. I liked the guy in it who you think is the baddie, but isn't the baddie. He was my best character.
I didn't see it.
Anyway.
I had no interest in it. Anyway, we're going to move on from that. Like I said, that's the film that came out this week, and I'm going to talk about a slightly older film that I watched last night. It's called Ralph Breaks the Internet. It came out November last year.
Yep.
Such a good film. I'd not actually seen the first one.
What?!
I know.
I'm going to watch this when I get home, by the way. I need a pen. I'm going to write it down now.
What's I worked... I don't know where it is. Somewhere. There it is. I worked it out from watching this second one, basically, what happened in the first one. But anyway, so what happens is the arcade that they're all in and that gets the internet plugged in.
Yeah, I saw Yeah.
And Ralph kind of accidentally breaks the Vanellope, I think her name is.
Okay.
Vanellope's car crash racer game, because he tried to create a new bit of track for her because she got depressed that it was the same thing over and over again. but it accidentally ended up with the steering wheel broken off the machine.
Okay, don't ruin... Oh, no, because I want to watch it now.
Tough.
Okay. Spoilers!
And the arcade guy found one on eBay, but it was $200. He was like, well, that's more than this game makes in a year or something. So he said, I'm just going to have to scrap the game. So he goes to unplug it. They managed to get all the characters out of the game. And then Ralph's like, oh, no, what can we do? And he's like, he heard one of the kids say it's on eBay. He's like, we need to go into the internet and go to eBoy. And... him and Vanellope go into the internet, and it's just like a massive futuristic city. There's a YouTube building, a Google building, an Amazon building, an eBay building. Goes into eBay. They think it's a game, and they go... It's all like little auctions for each item, and everyone's little avatars are walking around, which are people's online activity.
Okay.
And they go and they find the steering wheel up. They think the game is you just got to say the highest number. So they eventually buy the steering wheel for $27,000.
Oh, my God.
And bearing in mind, it was at like $200.
Jesus.
They then go to leave the eBay shop and then realise that actually you have to pay real money. And they've got 48 hours, I think it is, to come up with the money. So they go back out into the internet. And then there's loads of people walking around with pop-up signs, which are basically online pop-ups.
Yeah, one of which is
earn money playing video games. So they go over to him, and there's basically certain loot items in video games that people find, and then they sell on, basically.
Okay.
And the one that they find, I think it's worth like 40,000, something ridiculous like that. And it's in a game, I think it's called... Oh, I can't remember what the game is called. I think it's called like Savage Racers or something. I think it's something along those lines.
Savage Racers. We'll just go with it anyway, whatever it's called. Yeah. Yep.
And they go into the game, and it's kind of like an open world... racer, like post-apocalyptic game,
like Mad Max type
thing, Mad Max style. And they get into the car, and the person whose car it is Gal Gadot. I can't remember. I think her character's called Shank in it, but she's got like a group of friends and stuff with her. And
is that the Wonder Woman lady?
Yeah. And then they eventually manage to pull over Ralph and Vanellope that are in this car, and then. She's like, oh, there's better ways on the internet to earn money than just loot items and stuff. And then she films a video of Ralph and puts it onto BuzzFeed Video or something.
Okay.
Which is basically kind of like a YouTube replacement, and basically gets a viral Ralph video to earn some dosh. Also, at this point, Vanellope kind of really loves that Savage Racers game a lot more than her own game, and is kind of wanting to go there. And... anyway, they eventually make Ralph makes loads of viral videos to try and earn money. He eventually gets enough. Vanellope ends up spending some time with a lot of the Disney princesses.
Oh, you saw that?
Hilarious, might I add. And they all just like one of them starts singing, and then Vanellope's like, "What the hell is that?" She's singing a song. Why?
Yeah, it's like,
because
why?
She's Princess Vanellope as well.
She's a princess, yeah, isn't she?
She has a Disney moment in this, because they're like, you just need to stare into some magical water and then a spotlight will come down and you'll start singing. That happens to her eventually.
Oh my God.
She's just staring into a puddle, then she starts singing about Savage Races, and it turns into like a proper Disney scene.
Is she actually like an adult stuck in that body or something?
I have no idea.
I need to watch the first one again. So.
Yeah, she's loving it, and then she's going to stay in Savage Races. And Ralph finds out and he gets very upset, so he goes and buys a virus to put into the game. And he puts this virus into the game that picks up on insecurities. And then she picks up on her insecurity, starts messing with the game, but he's been told to not let it get outside of that game. And
it does.
He's got to run in there to save Vanellope because the game's going to reset and anything that's not in the code will be deleted.
And she's obviously
not. Yeah, so he manages to save her and break out, but he leaves a big open hole for the virus to come out. And he said about him planting the virus in the game. She gets really annoyed, takes, you know, that medal that she gave him at the end of the last one, that heart-shaped medal? She takes that and throws it off like a cliff thing. Then the virus comes out and it picks up on Ralph's insecurity and makes hundreds and thousands and billions of copies of Ralph that then... or in the internet.
His biggest insecurity is himself.
Well, it's losing his friend. So all these clones are trying to get to Vanellope, his friend, and to the point where it literally breaks the internet, and it's called the Ralph virus. Ralph breaks the internet, obviously.
Damn.
And they eventually, all these billions of Ralphs are culminate into one gigantic Ralph. Kind of like a King Kong thing, because he picks up Vanellope and climbs up the Google building.
Oh, I'm going to watch this later. So
it's really, really good. And eventually they obviously sort it out, but Vanellope ends up staying in the Savage Races game. And they find a way of putting her in the code and stuff. But it kind of felt... I mean, I got quite emotional in it, because it felt like a dad letting his daughter go to uni sort of thing.
Aww.
It felt really sad, like, we're still keeping contact and stuff.
Aww, you don't.
It's really sad. And it's like, I guess the arcade you could think of as like a small town, and then the internet as a big city, and it's kind of like her leaving to go do that to follow her dreams kind of thing.
Aw, man.
And it might have been the bottle of wine speaking. I got quite emotional, if I'm honest. It pulled on a few heartstrings. And then it also cuts to a little bit of them doing some different things at the arcade now. Like they each Friday, I think they spend a different evening in one of the games, and that person whose game it is hosts dinner. And he also gets phone calls from that Vanellope, because they've got some sort of communicator thing now, so they speak every couple of weeks. And then he was like, "Oh, when do you get time off?" She's like, "Oh, in a little bit." There. Who's in the game to do some updates on it and that, so I can come visit all that sort
of
thing.
I don't know if I want to watch this now.
Quite emotional, but he ended up being quite happy towards the end, and it was a really, really good
film. So he didn't buy the steering wheel?
They did buy the steering wheel. They did end up fixing the game, because he did get enough money for it. But then afterwards, that's when she decided that she wants to stay there. Obviously, everyone else, he's got to still fix the game.
Yeah.
But he then goes in to try and get her to come back with him, basically.
Okay.
And then follows on from that point. It's a really good film, though. And the internet is really well portrayed in it. So you see all these little avatars of people walking around. And every time, say, it's a pop-up or something, it then cuts to a real person sat at a computer coming up with the screen.
Like, well, like, when you say real person, like
animated real person.
Animated real person, yeah. Okay.
But the little avatars are then walking around and stuff, and in little flying ships that take them to different sites and that. It literally looked like the animated person, but just like little avatar people of them.
That's cool.
And it's great. So like when like Ralph was breaking like Amazon and stuff, you see someone was trying to buy something on Amazon, and then suddenly it just crashed. It goes back to them and then goes back into the internet. It's really, really well done. I actually really liked it. I think you'll really enjoy it as well, and it's very much a film I would recommend.
I will watch it later. So out of the scoring system, was it bad film, or good film? I think we need to add a few more categories to that.
Yeah,
we'll work it in. We'll develop it naturally. Yeah.
I'll give this a good. This was very good. I really, really enjoyed it. And it's definitely a film you could sit down on a Sunday afternoon and just enjoy yourself with.
Of which it is.
Yep, and you can just enjoy yourself with it. It's really, really well done, and I really, really like the interpretation of the internet in that world. It's done so well.
It's John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman or something, isn't it?
Yeah. John C. Reilly is Ralph, obviously, and Sarah Silverman is Vanellope. And obviously Gal Gadot.
So is there actually like any bad guy in this, or is it just them having to correct their mistakes and stuff?
It's just them having to correct their mistakes. The bad guy kind of ends up being Ralph a little bit, and then not... It pulls at your heartstrings, man. It really does. And
the whole,
he sends her to, like, at some point she goes to, like, a Disney World bit, and she's getting chased by stormtroopers, and then that's when she meets all the princesses and stuff. And that is done so well, and it is brilliant. And the princesses are hilarious. It's a really funny scene. They end up just all in, like, their pyjamas and stuff and sat around and talking. It's great. It's great. And then towards the end, there's something like, because they're trying to get away from their stereotypical thing. I think they save Ralph. They're like, oh, it's a big, strong man that needs saving. They go and save him. But no, it's really, really well done.
Nice.
But I think that's it for that. I guess on to a little section we like to call What I've Been Watching.
Oh, okay.
What you been watching, John?
So, I, this week, have watched the Ted Bundy
All the Ted Bundy tapes.
All the Ted Bundy tapes on Netflix.
Really good.
Yeah. Wow. That's. I'm looking forward to the film now.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's in it? It's
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron. Yeah.
Playing Ted Bundy.
But yeah, I must admit though, Zac Efron is a big, beefy dude. Ted Bundy wasn't a big, beefy
Have
dude.
Have you
he
seen him in the trailers
though? Yeah.
They looks pretty good.
But also the trailers look quite upbeat, and I know I did see online that this got quite a bit of criticism, it being an upbeat trailer. But at the same time, one of the reasons why so many people thought he was innocent was because he was quite a charming, upbeat fella. So,
and you can see there's a lot of people, I mean, when you go over those tapes and that were won over by his charm.
Yeah, I mean, even the judge, but even when the judge had to sentence him, the judge said, sir, if, you know, one day I'd love you to work in my practice. Because he said, I do feel sorry for you and all that.
Yeah.
Lot.
That was scary. That was pretty crazy.
And then afterwards he admitted to it all, and it was 30 people, and I think they know about...
30, maybe more,
and they only know the identity of, like, 20 or something, so...
Yeah, and
the rest are just missing
pretty
people.
He waited right up until it was, like...
You're gonna
death sentences today or whatever to actually admit that he'd done it.
Yeah, it's scary, though. It's very scary.
And it's unprecedented as well, him... being a lawyer on his own defence.
He was... Yeah.
He was not actually a lawyer.
No, he was at university. Yeah. So.
He'd never actually finished his qualifications, so he wasn't technically a lawyer.
But he had enough knowledge on what he was doing. And
well, although you listen to those tapes and the actual lawyers are like, as an actual lawyer, you would never do that. And like when he's like walking...
But he nearly did it.
The psychopathic thing of like walking the people through the crime scenes and stuff.
But he so nearly did it, and at the end of it, they got him on bite marks.
Oh yeah, that was.
But the thing is, the bite marks as well. Even today you don't really.
At the very least,
it's very hard to line up people's teeth to bite marks.
At the very least, you did have him as well with the failed kidnapping of that woman.
Yeah, but that woman, they completely tear down her.
Apparently.
And with the other woman, she said it was that. She pointed him and said it was that man over there. And then they went, when you were looking out your window, did you see his eyebrows? She says no. Did you see his nose? She said no. Did you see his eyes? She said no. And then it was like, what did you see? Yeah. And she was like, I saw a man. She's like, oh well, you know, that's not like a stand up.
Yeah,
but no, he's reign of terror, man. Scary guy.
Pretty bad. And
he's a kid.
He had
a wife in prison and they had a baby?
Yeah, because it was someone that he knew and then she was there every day.
Is that child okay? Is that child, like, you know, carried on the trait of a...
I'm assuming
some
sort of...
Because the mum was a nutter as well.
I'm assuming some sort of witness protection or...
Well, a kid.
Definitely not having Bundy's surname, I would have thought.
Probably not with a mum, probably taken away.
Anyway, you've been watching anything else? It's definitely worth checking out those Ted Bundy tapes before the film comes out.
Yeah, I watch a lot of things, so I've forgotten.
Useful. What have I been watching?
I don't know.
What did I watch? I've been rewatching a TV series that I watched quite a while ago.
It's called
White Collar. It's pretty good. It's with Matt Bloomer, I think it is. Matt Bloomer? Something like that.
What's it about?
It's just basically about a con man that then strikes a deal with the FBI to help them catch other con men.
Oh, is it a bit like Catch Me If You Can, you know, at the end when he helps
it's
them?
It's just basically like an American like cop procedural cop with a sidekick, basically.
Oh, okay.
But it's really good. I really enjoyed it. I think this is like my second or third run through of the TV series. There's like 6 seasons, and it's pretty decent.
Nice.
But I think that's the only thing I've been watching. What?
Oh, is my cable okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Sorry,
yeah, Jack's just hit my cable. Bastard. I've watched an entire series last week, this week. Russian Doll, another Netflix series.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a story about a woman who keeps dying and then keeps coming back. So every time she dies, she comes back to the night before where she's at her own party in the bathroom.
This is about like Happy Death Day kind of thing.
Very like Happy Death Day, but this one's a lot funnier.
Okay.
And then she ends up finding somebody else who has the same problem, and it's just them trying to figure out how to stop it, and eventually they do. And the last episode especially is a massive mind F, but it is so well done.
Okay.
It is so fun to watch and so entertaining. Talking about Happy Death Day, Happy Death Day 2 is coming out, and I want to see it because I saw the first one.
Nope, didn't see the first one, don't want to watch the second one.
Oh, okay. This one's more like a comedy, though.
Is there anything that you want to watch in the next week or so?
I don't know just yet. I don't know. I'm probably going to go to cinema a couple of times. So
I want to watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse at some point.
I feel like we should, because that actually has gotten like a bit
really,
of a...
Really,
really
good reviews.
That's sort of taken off as well a bit. No, like when, really I saw, when it first came out, I was thinking, okay, it's just another Spider-Man cartoon. But I've noticed it's getting
really,
a lot. Yeah,
really well.
It's really snowballing.
It's up
so.
For an Oscar as well for animated film.
Yeah.
And when I looked today, it's actually on the cinema today, but for the kids club.
Oh.
It's really nice. I wanted to watch it last night by some sort of illegal means. And I couldn't find it anywhere, and I was so annoyed. I was like, oh, what do I watch? Oh, screw it. Ralph breaks the internet. I'll watch that. But no, I want to at some point watch that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. But because it looked really good, and there was the possibility that they wanted to do like a live action with Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire and Tom Holland. I mean, I can't ever see that actually happening.
No, I can't ever see that happening.
But it'd be cool.
Nice. But no, but at the moment in the cinema.
Mm.
So Happy Death Day 2. How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
What was that, like 300 now or something?
I think it's 3.
Okay. Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg. It's a family comedy film.
Meh.
Yeah, meh. The Boy Who Would Be King. Your film, the Ultimate.
Yeah, I did want to see it. But...
And Lego Movie 2. So I'm going to see a couple of these by the time we do the next recording.
I might try and watch Lego Movie 2.
Yeah, I'll see that.
See why it's bombing.
Everything's bombing, isn't it, at the moment? Like, what is actually making money?
Maybe it's just a crap time for films at the minute.
Could be a quiet time.
Mm. I think next month is more of a film month. The next few months, I think you have March, April, May, I think are quite busy months for film. And then obviously you've got the summer, which is normally quite busy. And then
Or normally it's what? It's December. December's summer.
Become like it's only recently that December's become like a...
Well, it's basically what it is. It's the family breaks. That's what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But I think next month it picks up a little bit for films. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. You can email us at casualspod@gmail.com, where John will answer all of your queries.
Mm.
In the fact that if you email, I'll probably send it on to him for him to answer. There, you can listen to us on iTunes. You can now listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, Podbean, YouTube.
Wow.
Some other stuff as well that I can't remember where you can listen to us. So if you're liking the episodes and that, just hit a like button or a subscribe button. You want to keep up every day, every week of us new episodes and hear our voices. It'd be good for your commute to or from work.
And if you want us to watch a Netflix or Amazon series and you want us to review it,
let us know. Email us. Chuck us a little email. Be like, Guess, I've got an idea for you. Why don't you go watch this?
And we'll try to.
We probably will.
Yeah.
Also, if you fancy chucking us some money, go to Patreon.
I mean,
chuck us a bit of money.
We obviously just do this for fun, though.
Of course, but if you want to help us with the cinema tickets and that, they're expensive nowadays. You know, if you've got some spare change that you don't mind...
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
when you think about it, cinema expenses, Netflix expenses, Amazon expenses, podcasting expenses.
If you can do $1 a month, would do us fine.
Or just a one-off donation.
I don't know if you can do that on Patreon. I think you can only do it monthly. But, you know, anything that would not cause you an inconvenience and that you wouldn't miss if it fell out your pocket.
And we'll give you a shout-out.
Yeah. And I'll probably
And when I say shout-out, I mean we'll ask for more.
No, I would show you. And I'd probably gonna start uploading the episodes to Patreon on the Sunday when we record, so you'd actually get like access to the episode a day earlier, which would be better. And all our old episodes are available on there as well.
Oh, nice!
So try and do that. Try and subscribe. So thanks very much, guys. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Bye bye.